My name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
And I'm Glenda, and I'm an alcoholic.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time for our featured speaker of the evening. This is brought to you by the Valley Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, the undefeated, undisputed king of the speaker meetings. Tonight's event is presented for your sobriety pleasure. And now,
let's get ready for recovery.
He's been in the program since 1988. He started secretary meetings at 60 days of sobriety, as well as being heavily involved in H&I. In 1989, he started his own recovery house in Fresno and has held every position in the program. And after all these years of sobriety, he still takes it one day at a time. And now, with all the earnestness at your command, will you welcome, please, from Madera, California, Gary Lindemann.
Thank you. My name is Gary, and I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to thank Bill and this group for inviting me down here. I'm a real blessed man to be alive today and to be part of Alcoholics Anonymous. My sobriety date is May 10th, 1988. I just took my 23-year chip, and I haven't had to take a drink or anything else since that day. And I'm here to let you know that it's a choice that I made not ever to take that drink or drug again. And I was told that I never had to, and I believe that. I just had to do some certain things. And, you know, I got around some people in Alcoholics Anonymous that had been around for quite a long time. And, you know, I was pretty rough around the edges when I came into AA. If you like outlaws and pirates and gangsters, well, then you'd probably like me, because that's exactly who I was. I grew up in Madera. I'm a fourth generation Maderan. I came from a good family, and I had alcoholics on both sides of my family. I had one sister, and I never felt right from when I was young. I didn't feel like I fit in. I was real good in sports. I was good at anything I did, but in my mind, I wasn't. And I don't know if any of you have ever felt that way, but I sure did. I was always into mischief. I was always getting into things, and I was bored, and so I got in a lot of trouble. When I was in seventh grade, I started drinking. I started breaking into the neighbors' houses and taking alcohol because I knew the doors weren't locked and I know where the booze was. And I went in there and I would just try things. And, I didn't like alcohol right away because it made me sick. But one thing I did like is I liked the effect that it gave me. And I've always liked that effect. I never liked the taste of alcohol, but I sure liked what it did for me and how it made me feel. I didn't drink on a regular basis when I first started drinking in junior high and high school, but I drank whenever I could. And, that's kind of what my friends did and the people that I hung out with. And, just to cut through the chase, I'm also a drug addict, and this is an AA meeting, so I'm going to try not to get into all that stuff. But bottom line is I did a lot of drugs, and it's a big part of my story, and it was a big part of my life. But I'm here to let you know that I'm an alcoholic, and alcohol is my problem. And I got kicked out of junior high school for drinking. I got caught with an empty bottle of vodka in my fog cutter, and I was smashed. And I got kicked out of school for 2 weeks, and that was the kind of the start of stuff that started happening to me. When I got into high school, I started not fitting in, and you know, I just didn't feel comfortable. And so I, you know, I started acting out. My parents got divorced, and, you know, I started getting really pissed off, and I just felt different. And, you know, so make a long story short, I ended up in juvenile hall several times. I graduated from high school on probation. I didn't even think I'd be able to go to my graduation. When I graduated, my parents decided that I needed to get away, so they sent me to Europe to go to school, and what a blessing that was for somebody like me. Now, the first thing I did is when I got off that airplane in Italy was I went over to the liquor store, because you could drink there, and like beer was like 10 cents. I mean, and, you know, I always got sick when I drank. And for some reason, all of a sudden, my body accepted alcohol right then. And I mean, it accepted it in a great way. And, you know, the first night that I was there, I drank about 30 Heinekens, and it was on. You know, it was really on. And from then on, that's the kind of way I drank. There was never enough alcohol ever anywhere for me. And, you know, I got in a lot of trouble when I was over there. They almost sent me back. I went to all these different universities in Europe, and all I cared to do is to sort out people that had drugs and to drink. That was my main goal while I was over there. And, you know, I came back, and I moved out of my parents' home, and I went to Reedley College, and man, I'll tell you what, I was in heaven. I was in heaven, and, you know, I started meeting a lot of girls, and I started meeting a lot of people that like to do the things that I like to do, and, you know, bottom line is that I could care less about going to class. I just wanted to party. And, you know, from then on, that's the way my life was. Nothing else was important to me except for getting high and getting drunk. That was me. I lived to party, and I partied to live. And my whole life revolved around that, and that's how I continued. And you know, I'm a very colorful person. I mean, I got millions of stories. You can ask my friend Bob over there. He had to go through treatment with me and listen to him, you know. And you know, I was selfish, self-centered. I've always been the most important person in the world. And you know, and what that did is it made it difficult for people to be around me. And, you know, I was always more important than everybody else. And, you know, I drove drunk for a lot of years and never got a drunk driving. For years and years, I drove drunk and partied. And I'll just tell you a couple situations. One of them was in Reedley. And I drank a gallon of Red Mountain wine, ate about 10 reds, and I was driving through town, and I went through this stoplight, and I made a right-hand turn, and I forgot to turn the steering wheel back, and I ran into a parked car and knocked it into a store. Now, most people get arrested doing something like that, but not me. I got out, talked my way out of it, told the cops to call a tow truck. They called a tow truck, towed it out to my friend's house. We got crowbars, bent all the fenders back so the wheels would turn correctly, went to the store, got some more wine, and took off drinking. Now, you know, I mean, that's not normal. But for me, it was. And for the people that I ran with, it was. And you know, that's the kind of craziness that would happen around me. You know, I mean, I'd go to bars, get in fights, just wild, crazy stuff. And it all revolved around alcohol, you know? And I started getting involved in I didn't like to work, so I wanted to make money fast. So, you know, I grew up around crop dusters and stuff here in the valley, and so, you know, what happened is I started getting involved in the importation of marijuana, which is was my life's goal, right? That's what I did for a living. At 19, I was busted in Fresno with 1,200 pounds of marijuana, which was the largest marijuana bust in California history at the time. And I got out of it, and that was the start of a trend. At 19, I went to prison. I turned 21 in prison for marijuana. And I got out, and the first 5 minutes I was out, I had a case of ice-cold Budweiser waiting for me, a bottle of Jack Daniels, some red, some good weed, and it was on. Now, if that isn't powerlessness, I don't know what is. Because the same thing that got me in prison, I'm doing as soon as I get out. Didn't even cross my mind that I should try to not do that stuff. And, you know, I went back to Reedy College, and because I was a professional junior college student. And, you know, it took me 6 years to graduate from Reedy, and, you know, because I went to prison and went places and did things and just kind of didn't make it. But, my life was a mess, but I was the last one to figure it out. You know, and I guess I must have liked it being a mess because that's what I did. And, I just kept staying involved in those things that were illegal, and I kept drinking, and I kept partying, and I kept doing the deal, and I loved it. I loved that life. I loved to drink. I loved to go to the bars and raise hell and do crazy stuff. I loved being around Hell's Angels and crazy people. And, and I loved being around rock stars and movie stars and thinking I was hip, slick, and cool. And, back then, you know, that's just what we did. And it took a long, long time for me to get to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got to tell you, I never wanted to stop drinking. There isn't a person in this room. There's no sponsor. There's no nobody that could get me to stop doing what I wanted to do. And what happened is the last 2 years of my drinking, I got 5 drunk drivings. I made a mess of my marriage that I got in. I got married when I was 32 years old, and I made a mess of that, and it was all about alcohol. And I just didn't get it. After the first 2 or 3 drunk drivings, I would go, well, I'll just get other people to drive. I'll use these other driver's licenses that I have. You know, I always had a way, you know, and I had these great enablers that would give me money for good lawyers, and I'd get out of things. And, as long as I had money and I had a way out, I'd keep doing what I was doing. It took me to lose everything that I owned. It took me to lose my family's respect and my respect for myself for me to get into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'll tell you what, I was running around at the end. I hit my wife. I broke her nose in about 6 places. I tried to kill my dog with a riot shotgun. I'd been up for about 8 days snorting cocaine and drinking tequila. And I wasn't in real good spiritual condition. And, I told my mother 2 different times that I'd meet her to go to a treatment center, and I just avoided that. I just didn't do it. And she finally told me, don't come over to my house anymore. I don't want to see you. You're not my son. My sister told me the same thing. You're not my brother. Don't come over here anymore. And what did I do? I just started drinking even more, and I got worse. You know, I'll show them. Screw them all. I don't need anybody. And, it's really not what I wanted. I really loved my family. I just didn't know how to tell them that. I didn't know how to be Gary. Because I'm an alcoholic. All I knew how to do was drink and hurt people and do things that weren't right. So, you know, I'm down on C Street, which is this notorious drug area in Madera, and You know, I got blood running down my arms and I got barf on my chest, and I hadn't gone to the bathroom in 2 days, in about 2 or 3 days, because my body was seizing up and I was trying to die. And funny thing is, you know, God just didn't let me die, you know. And I always had these guardian angels always watching out for me, no matter what, beyond who I was. And one day I got this just this spiritual thing came down and said, Gary, I think you need to go left instead of right. And that day, I went into the alcohol recovery center at the Clovis Community Hospital, and that was the best thing that I ever did. The best thing that I ever did in my entire life was go into that treatment center. And, you know, that's when I met my friend Bob and a bunch of other people, and we started our journey in recovery. And I don't know about any of you, but I got worse, a lot worse, because I didn't have alcohol anymore. I didn't have any drugs. I didn't know how to cope. I didn't know how to deal with anything. I didn't know how to work. I didn't know how to be a friend. I didn't know how to have friends. All I knew how to deal with is be angry and crazy, and I tried to push everybody away from me. And, you know, and I fought that place tooth and nail. I mean, they actually even were going to throw me out once because I threatened them. I told them I was going to have the Colombians come and whack them. And they didn't like that very much. You know what? Those people, they weren't afraid of me. And they told me, if you threaten us one more time, you're going to have to leave. So you either need to do what's asked of you or you need to go. And again, something came down and said, Gary, you better start doing this, man, if you're going to do this. And I started doing it. The best way I knew how, you know. Being a fighter and somebody that likes to do everything the opposite of what people want you to do, again, it wasn't very good, but I did what was asked of me. I did the steps when I was in there. I didn't tell the complete truth because I didn't know how to be honest. I didn't even know how to be honest to myself. You know, I've learned so much. I just can't even explain to you how much I've learned. And I've learned it all around people like you and Alcoholics Anonymous. I've learned how to be a human being again. I've learned how to be honest. I've learned how to help others. I've learned how to work. I mean, can you believe someone like me has had the same job for 15 years? That's a miracle, believe me. That's a true miracle. At a year in sobriety, I went through the best chef school in the United States up in San Francisco. And for the first time in my life, I did something and followed through with it and finished it. You know, I was real good at it. I just, I still didn't know how to take orders and take direction and take criticism or anything like that. You know, I was really rough around the edges. I just, you know what I mean? I mean, these people, they just don't understand who I am. It was always like that. I'm important, you know? I'm doing the best. And, you know, I had this friend of mine, Chuck. Chuck took me to my first AA meeting. Chuck was a SWAT sergeant for the Fresno PD. I wonder why he came and took me to my first AA meeting. Well, he told me something. He says, you know, Gary, you're going to have to give the fight up. You're going to have to throw the gloves in, man. You got to quit fighting. And, you know, I didn't get it for a long time. I kept fighting. When I was going to that chef school, I ended up in the San Francisco City Jail for about eight felonies. Assault with a deadly weapon, making terrorist threats. I can go on and on. There's a bunch of them. So I got put in the jail, and my sister had to come up and bail me out. after about 3 days, and I went, gosh, look where this has gotten me. You know, and I got out of that. They ended up dropping the charges. And, you know, but I started thinking that maybe I might have a problem with my anger and with some stuff that was going on with me. And I had to start really delving into the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, and I started reaching out to people. And I started really doing what this program is really all about. And it's about carrying the message to another alcoholic who still suffers. You know, it's not about me. And once I got to that point, things started getting better. And they didn't instantly get better, but they started getting better. And this deal's never over for me. I still work the steps. I still call my sponsor every day. My sponsor's got 38 years in the program. He still goes to Alcoholics Anonymous. He's still part of Alcoholics Anonymous. He still secretaries meetings. He still does the deal. And so do a lot of other people I hang out with. I go to a men's meeting in Fresno called Rule 62, Don't Take Your Life So Serious. You know, I've learned to have fun in AA. I've learned to be mischievous and do all kinds of things that I never thought would be possible. I've been in and out of relationships. I wasn't able to hold a job for a while as a chef because I had a bad habit of, a couple people I knocked out. And I lost my job because of my anger one more time, you know. I mean, go figure, you know. And then I had to go make amends to the owners. And, you know, it's like I just wasn't doing it, you know. But, you know, for me, you know, it's a process. It's still a process. I've learned a lot about me and who I am and a lot about my life. And, you know, I got married a second time in sobriety, and I ended up having a real nice horse ranch up in the lower foothills of Madera, and all of a sudden, I'm cool again. I don't need to go to AA. What do I need you people for? None of you like me anyway. Hell, none of you call me. Screw y'all. I don't need to go there anymore. So, I go on a 3 or 4 year journey of untreated alcoholism. And believe me, I hated everybody. I hated my neighbors. I hated my wife. I hated anyone who came near me. And, again, I was the last one to figure it out, you know. I come home one day from work. My wife was gone. Half the horses were gone, the gates were open, the gun safes were open, all the stuff was gone, and there I am again, alone, wondering what happened. You know, I dealt with that, and, you know, I got some help from my mom to keep that ranch floating so I could sell it. Everything that I was worried about losing, I lost it all anyway. You know, it's kind of interesting how we're always worrying about things. A lot of times you lose those things that you're worried about so much, you know. You know, I lost everything that's important to me in this life except for me. I'm the most important person because without me I have nothing. Without God I have nothing. Without you guys I'm nothing. You know, about 6 months after I lost that ranch, you know, I had to get divorced. I lost all my life savings. 6 months later, my mom died, and I thought the world was over. And I actually had a spiritual experience and ended up getting confirmed in the Catholic Church, of all things. And, you know, it's kind of ironic because I never went to church except when I was young and forced to go. I always said I had God in my life, but I had him on the outside, not on the inside. You know, for the first time in my life, I accepted God into my life all the way, which meant that he runs my life, not me. I don't run my life anymore. I do what's in front of me to be done, no matter what it is. You know, that's a true blessing for me. It's kind of interesting. My mom had to die so I would get it, you know. But that's how it worked. And there's a big story behind all that, but I don't have time to tell you about it tonight. But it's a pretty interesting story. It's real spiritual. But anyway, I ended up doing that. And then I got in a relationship again 6 months later. Got engaged, thought my life was going to be wonderful, right? This gal had kids, and I'm being of service, and I'm cooking, and I'm working, and I'm like, everything's cool, I'm going to a lot of meetings, I'm involved. And the funny thing is I'm always fixing other people, you know? I'm always so nice, I'm always wanting everybody to like me, so I do things at my own expense. I paid this woman's bills off. A week later, she walked on me, and then I wanted to die. I did not want to be here anymore. Because everything, all of a sudden, came on me all at the same time. And I forgot to tell you also that at 12 years in sobriety, my sister was killed by a drunk driver. And I never dealt with that either. So, all of a sudden, I'm dealing with my sister Kay, with my mom's death, with the loss of my ranch, with the loss of my wife, with the loss of giving all my horses up, all this stuff, plus the fact that this gal walked out of my life. But you know what? I had that church, and I kept going to that church. I had AA, and I had you guys, and I kept showing up. And you know what? I'm still sober today. I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care what happens. You do not have to drink if you don't want to. You have a choice. You have a choice. You can make a phone call. My old sponsor Art used to say, don't call me after. Call me before. Guess what? I still remember those things. And I'm glad I had those old timers that were there for me. It showed me how to carry the message. It showed me how to walk the talk. It showed me how to become a human being again. See, they shared their character defects with me. They showed me how messed up that they were. My old sponsor, Art, used to share, when I'd walk in the front door, my wife would run out the back door. Well, I understood that, you know. That's the kind of people I needed to be around to show me that I'm not the only person that has issues and problems and stuff going on. You know, if you're an alcoholic and you're in this meeting, I'm sure you're not here just because your life's going on really well, you know. I hope it's going pretty good if you've been around for a while, but you know, I know people have been sober 35 years and lost their houses, lost everything because they had a gambling addiction. You know? I know people that do lots of things except do what they need to do. And what I've learned to do is do what I need to do. And what I need to do is be part of Alcoholics Anonymous. I need to help the newcomers. I need to be a service to my home group. I need to be a service to my community and my church. And I need to be a service to anyone that comes in front of me. You know, I have a wonderful job today. After being a chef for about 10 years, I switched careers and I majored in forestry at Reedley College, and I had a degree in forestry, so I switched gears, and I ended up getting hired as a consultant to PG&E, and I've had that same job for 15 years, and you know what? They like me. They really, truly like me. They give me awards. They tell me to, you know, they let me train people. They let me do all sorts of stuff. They give me access to their facilities, you know. Who would have thought? No one wanted to give me access to nothing, you know. And I've had to learn how to be a good friend, to have friends. You know, and to be a good friend, you learn how to be of service to them. You learn how to be of service to everybody, you know. For somebody that was selfish and self-centered and did everything the way they wanted it to do, that was real hard for me to learn. took me a lot of years to learn that. And you know, until I lost my mom, I didn't really get it. When my mom died, I got it. It's about family. It's about friends. It's about people that cross your path. It's about life. It's about being good to everybody, man. You know, that's a hard deal, man. You know, I mean, like, I've walked out of an AA meeting and had somebody cut me off on the freeway, and I wanted to throw a crowbar through their window, you know. But that didn't happen very often anymore. But it did. When I was first sober, I threw a trailer hitch ball through somebody's window. I pulled people out of their cars. That's just the insanity, crazy man I was. I just didn't know how to deal with my feelings. Didn't know how to be a person. You know, I got a nice part in me that's always been there. It just didn't know how to come out. You know, the person that I was telling you about, I am not that person anymore. I'm not a guy that imports marijuana from Thailand and Colombia and does all kinds of crazy things and hurts people. I'm a nice guy that likes to go to Alcoholics Anonymous and go to my church and allow God in my life so that I can give it back to others. And, you know, if I can give you guys anything, you know, I can't worry about what I did in my past, and I can't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. All I can worry about is today and how I deal with today. And it makes it easier for me. Because I always used to try to make everything okay for tomorrow. And you know what? I've lost so many friends recently to cancer and stuff that you don't know how much long you have. So you better make the best of it today. And you know what? You know what my main goal in life is? Is to live sober and die sober. If I can do that, then I'm going to be okay. You know? That's what I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to die sober. That's my goal. You know? I don't ever want to take a drink or use a drug or anything else. I want to be me. I like me. That was hard to say for a long time. You know, when I hurt so many people that I just didn't think anybody could like me. And so what I did is I acted out, and I wasn't able to express that. You know? Today I can tell you guys that. I can tell you, each and every one of you, that I love you. I tell people on Facebook all the time, I love you. And you know what? I mean it. I'm not just saying things just because I want to say them. I'm saying them because I am. I am who I am. I'm Gary. I'm an alcoholic. I'm glad all you guys are here. I'm glad the people that are here that took chips tonight. And I'm blessed. Appreciate the chance to be here tonight. Thank you.